Lord, for these few moments, I'm asking that the things that the world has bombarded us with this week would be pushed back by your word. And Lord, that once again we would be reminded as believers of the power of your word for godly living. And Lord, show us if we're following after the wrong things in our lives. May today be a time where your word for some of us brings conviction. For others, may it bring resolve. But Lord, for all of us, would it work in a powerful, sword-yielding way, piercing our bodies and our minds. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen. We live in amazing times, if you think about it. I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and some of it's scary, and like the Middle East, we're not exactly sure what all is going to happen over there all the time, and threats with Russia, but just think about it for a minute. I mean, many of you in this room were able to watch the night we landed a man on the moon. Isn't that amazing? And the adage now is that, you know, there's more technology in this phone than what put that man on the moon. I do have a clock, sorry. You see, why is there a light going off? Sorry. But you know what I'm getting at, right? I mean, amazing technology. For those of you who are in war, battling it out in Korea or Vietnam, I mean, now we have men like James may eventually be who will sit in an Air Force base in Texas and remote control a drone in the Middle East. Right? It is amazing the technology and the knowledge that we are gaining scientifically, medically. Think about the drugs, the cures that are being provided through doctors. Did you see that birth this week of that woman? Her husband drove like 95 miles an hour to get her to the hospital. He had a GoPro camera and he got the whole thing as she delivered right there at the hospital. Did you see that? I mean, think about just labor, how for some of you, if a baby was breached, that was a big deal back then. And now with medicine, it's just amazing the times that we live in. But you know what happens is that with this increase of knowledge, there's also an arrogance and a pride that works its way in. As a people and as a nation, the smarter we think we get, the more we follow into the wisdom of the world, the less we feel like we need the wisdom of the Lord, right? You see that. The more advanced we get as a nation even, the more there's this pushing away of what we espouse as biblical wisdom. That's old school, outdated, not relevant, no longer communicates to where we are as a nation. We don't need you to be teaching us that that junk. I mean, even in schools, Big Bang evolution, all that religious stuff about a creator, right? Some ways it reminds me of the Tower of Babel. Remember those people in Genesis 11? I mean, they could do amazing things. We're going to come together and we're going to build this tower that goes so high into the sky. Look at us, what we are able to do. And God does what? I will show you who's Lord. And in one moment, they went from being able to communicate and do amazing things, which they thought they were able to do, to suddenly they were no longer even able to communicate with one another. Can you imagine what that must have been like in that moment? You're carrying on a conversation, and the next thing you know, you can't talk to the person next to you. Some people say that's what's going to happen when satellites go out and we can't communicate on phones or on Facebook anymore, right? But what happened with Babel is the more knowledge they gained, the more it was they pushed God aside, and the more they became their own God, and the more they began going after their own agendas and their own goals. But like Babel, today, the Lord will not be mocked. Listen to a couple of scriptures that calls us to have caution. 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." Or what about this passage? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. "Where is the one who was wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Or what about this passage? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death or destruction." Listen, in these days, when we're living in foolish times where people are saying this is wisdom, but it's not really biblical, godly, foundational wisdom to life, we of all people, we need to gain, to glean, to ascribe to long for biblical wisdom and how to live. So much of today's wisdom, what you hear, is self-centered. It's hedonistic. It's personal passions. It's like with Judges, right? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It's like that today. Everyone thinks what they want in their own mind, and they pursue after what they think is right in their own life and whatever feels good to me, and that's wisdom because it's how I'm made, or it's what I want, or it brings me satisfaction, right? I mean, that's so much of what's being espoused today. But God's wisdom is different. It's humble, sacrificial, loving towards others. Remember when we went through James chapter 3, 17, "But the wisdom from above," it's contrasting the wisdom of the world. The wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom that is Christocentric, is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Look, we need to focus again on biblical wisdom. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're going to look through the book of Proverbs to gain a foundation for some, maybe a shoring up for others, but of solid biblical wisdom that comes from God. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. And you know what the Bible tells us about him. Outside of Christ, he was the wisest man who'd ever lived. So if we're looking for biblical wisdom, doesn't it behoove us to study the man who had a lot of wisdom? And we're going to look at things like marriage and family and morals and ethics in the weeks to come. But for today, as we begin this series on Proverbs, we really have to get to the core of what Proverbs is about, and that's godly wisdom. Biblical wisdom. So we're entitling all our message this morning, "Get Wise, How to Live in These Foolish Times." So if you have a Bible, I invite you to look at Proverbs chapter 1. There's a Bible in front of you. A reminder, I shared last week, our projector for this side's being fixed, and so we don't have it on that side. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter, okay? So try to hone in, focus, because chapter 1 really sets the tone for the rest of the book. What the book of Proverbs usually is these little short, pithy statements of knowledge or of truth, riddles, parables, those types of things. But what chapter 1 does is it lays out the purpose for writing the whole book of Proverbs. And listen to what he says, Proverbs 1, verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And all throughout this book, he's going to go back and forth between wisdom and fools, the wise man and the foolish man. Verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they come and say, hey, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, and we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw your lot in with us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the streets and in the market. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight and their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you, because I've called and you've refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Long passage. Work our way through that this morning and pull out a couple of ideas. First, what we need to get from this is this idea of what is wisdom. Wisdom is really just knowledge that is rightly applied to situation. Some maybe words that you would use would be knowledge that leads to shrewdness or craftiness. Maybe it's you're going to have appropriate dealings, whether it's morally or socially or religiously, ethically, right? You know how to act in certain ways. And not just how to act in not just the basic knowledge, but it's a knowledge that is founded upon the holiness of the Lord. Notice in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a holy fear for Him, if you don't understand that He is holy, that His ways are right and just, that He will punish sinners for their disobedience, that there is an eternal hell, if you don't have that in your mind, none of the book of Proverbs really matters. You need to be driven by this understanding that what Proverbs says and what all of Scripture says come from the one who is true, who has all knowledge, who is all holy, and is describing to us how we're to live contrary to the wisdom of the world. And it's not just in Proverbs. Job 28, verse 28, listen. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it have good understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15, 10, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom. Over and over and over again, you hear this commandment that wisdom begins with the understanding, with this fear of the living God. So today, if you're not trusting in Christ, that is the most important thing for you to deal with. But for others of us, we need to realize that wisdom is a very valuable commodity. Any of you play Settlers of Catan? All right, well, I won't use that illustration then. Y'all need to look up Settlers of Catan and play that. It's a great game. But you're collecting resources and you trade and you're trying to build stuff, right? Commodities, right? When you think about that in our society, listen to a passage like this. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her. That's Proverbs 8, verse 11. Proverbs 16, 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. What he's getting at is this. Biblical wisdom is of the greatest value. It is more significant than earning money, riches, wealth, significance in this life, right? Because all of those things, they go, they rot, they fade, they can be stolen, they don't last. But the problem is so many people, they spend their life pursuing after those things and not really saying the thing that I desire most in my life is godly biblical wisdom that starts with the fear of Him and causes me to live rightly. There's so many benefits to gaining biblical wisdom. And he tells us some in verses 2 through 7. I'm not going to go through every one of them in great detail, but he's just given this like pops of like, here, think about this. Here's how wisdom helps. Here's how wisdom helps. Look at verse 2. The one who has biblical wisdom will have understanding. Verse 3, if you gain biblical wisdom, it'll help you to learn how to deal with people in righteousness and with justice. That's a huge thing all throughout the Bible, right? The Lord hates iniquity. The Lord hates when people don't have justice towards one another, right? The Lord hates unrighteousness. So when we have biblical wisdom, it helps us to treat people fairly. Isn't that how Solomon was able to deal with the two prostitutes? Because he had wisdom. Verse 4, to have discretion. That word isn't used very much today because we live in a day and a time where there really is no modesty, no discretion. Everybody shares their business on Facebook. There's photos, right? You know the newest trend with wedding photography now? It's embarrassing. I asked my wife, and she confirmed that this is true. You're seeing more and more girls, when they're doing their bridal shots, them and their bridesmaids, they're turning around, facing the camera, and lifting up their dresses, sometimes to have their panties show, sometimes just to show butt cheeks. That is the world in which we live in. No discretion, no wisdom, no modesty. If you have biblical wisdom, it'll say, that is stupid. Verse 5, it gives us guidance on how to live. There's so many reasons why it should be pursued. But look, the challenge is to gain wisdom. Look what happens in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market she raises her voice, and at the head of noisy streets she cries out, and at the entrance of city gates she speaks. Notice those words, cries out aloud in the streets, in the markets, at the head of noisy streets. I think the idea there is this. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is in competition with all the other wisdom of the world. And for many people, it's like you go into the big city and you see all the lights and all the flashing things, and it's just like bugs to the light. You're drawn to it, right? And it's like wisdom is crying out, you need me, you need me, you need me. But we don't see it because we're drawn by all the chaos of the marketplace. And the marketplace is this. It's friends telling us, this is wisdom. It's TV shows telling us, this is wisdom. It's self-help books telling us, this is wisdom, right? It's Facebook telling us, this is wisdom. It's our family and friends saying, no, this is wisdom, right? All the while, so many of us have all these voices crying out to us, this is wisdom, this is wisdom, this is wisdom. And much of it is not godly wisdom. But notice verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. So it's not just you have all these voices that are competing for our attention regarding wisdom, but notice what else is there. Do you get it? Apathy. Apathy is a great hindrance towards gaining biblical wisdom. Laziness on the part of individuals. Look, I'm not trying to hit the hammer on any of us. It's really all of us, but so many of us, we really are just lazy when it comes to biblical things. I'm saved. I'm good. I'm going to go when I die to heaven. But I'm not going to put a lot of effort and intentionality in really growing deep. And it's not just you. I mean, it's really all of the Bible. He tells us in Hebrews, by now you should be really further along than you are, but you're still babies. You know why? Because it's hard. It takes effort. It takes focus. It takes thought. I mean, wisdom doesn't just happen. It takes reflection. It takes contemplation. It takes study. And we don't want that. We just want somebody to like kind of give us some good nuggets we can take home and be like, oh yeah, that was a good thing. That was a good message, good Sunday school class, right? But it's not genuine biblical knowledge because we're not doing anything with it. We're lazy. It's much easier to watch TV or entertain ourselves to death. So wisdom is crying aloud, but it's in competition with so much out there. And even for us as Christians, we often get sidetracked and distracted from God's wisdom calling out. And you know, there's a danger. There's a danger when we don't have biblical wisdom. There's a danger when we start following after the wisdom of the world. Listen, when we reject God's wisdom, there's greater temptation and the likelihood of falling into sin. If we don't have a holy fear for God and we don't know what God's word has said, there's a greater temptation that we're going to fall into sin. Look at verse 8, Proverbs 1, verse 8. Read it with me. Hear, my son, your pastor's instruction, and forsake not your youth pastor's teaching. Is that what that says? First off, I'm an aide to your family. Anybody who works with your students is an aid to your family. But parents, grandparents, do you see you are responsible for this biblical wisdom being communicated to your children? A lot more could be said there, but I know you're already mad, so let's just move on. Okay, so verse 9 and following, look what he says. Ultimately, he says this. There's going to be those who are going to entice you. There's going to be those who say, let's go sin. Let's go steal from somebody. Let's go take what's not ours. Let's have it for ourselves. Let's gather for ourselves resources and wealth. And we'll, what did it say? We'll split the purse evenly. My son, do not give in to that. Do not go down that way. Do you see, when we're not fearing the Lord and we don't have biblical wisdom, we don't know and we get drawn in and we get sucked in and people are telling us things and we're like, well, that sounds like a good idea, or at least that sounds appealing, and we start doing it. And before we know it, we're caught in this web of sin and destruction and lies and things that we shouldn't be involved in, and sometimes we can't get out of it, and sometimes we don't want to get out of it, right? But do you see what happens when there's not this fear of the Lord that is driving our every conviction? It is likely that we'll fall into sin. And it gets even worse. When we don't apply biblical wisdom to our lives, when we're not fearing the Lord, when there's no real consequence for sin in our lives, the Lord may not answer or help or provide in our time of need. I didn't make that up. I'm just telling you what the text said. Because many of us want to do this. I use this example at 9:30. It's like we're a plane and the pilot is saying, both of our engines are out. We need you to brace for the crash. We need you to get your life vests on. We need you to put your head between your knees or whatever it is you're going to do when the plane's going down, right? And you're like, yeah, whatever. I've been on better rides at the Rapids than this thing, right? I mean, whatever. And then suddenly the plane hits the water and it's broken up and everybody lives because this is a good story. Everybody's alive, but you don't have your life jacket and you're doing what? In that moment of distress, you're looking for it, but you can't find it because you didn't get prepared. Ultimately, that's what he's getting at. Look what he says. Hear these words, verse 24. Because I called to you and you refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and would not have any of my reproof. Because you've rejected what I've called, what I've been saying, you've rejected biblical knowledge. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Look at verse 28. It's highlighted in my Bible. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer them. They will seek me diligently, intensity, fervency, but what? They will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have had none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Do you hear what he's saying? Some of us think, well, I'll just live however I want, and when I get in a big mess, I'll call upon the Lord, and he'll just help me out. Sometimes the way the Lord's going to help you out is he's going to say, son, you need to stay in jail overnight. Any of you have parents who did that to you? You don't have to give testimony, but it is, if you confess your sins to one another, he's faithful and just. You know what I mean. Some parents are quick to bail him out, but sometimes you say, you know what, he's not going to learn unless he stays overnight or for the week or however long. And some of us, that's what he's saying. Look, I'm not going to run to your rescue every time you get in these situations when I've been telling you how to live and you've been ignoring that. Look, that I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the text is saying. So let's just use a couple of examples, if I can. One, the world has all this wisdom about sex and marriage, right? I mean, nobody really needs to wait until they're married anymore to have sex. You don't even have to wait till you're married. I mean, just live together, have sex together, just do all those things. And I mean, who really even needs to get married? Marriage is an outdated institution and all those types of things, right? And oh yeah, you don't have to marry a non-Christian, a believer. You can marry whoever you want because they look good or they have money or whatever the situation is, right? How many people have bought into the world's lies, the wisdom of the world, in those things, and then they've gotten what? They've gotten hurt. They've gotten destroyed because they've made bad decisions in their life. It's hard when you're a parent and you know your kids are going down the wrong road and you're telling them what they need to do and they just don't listen, right? Sometimes, I mean, just transparently, that's what I feel as a pastor. I just feel like y'all are church people in general. It's like, I mean it nicely, but like kids, you know, and people will come in and they'll want counsel and they'll say, hey, Pastor, here's what's going on in my life. And you'll kind of tell them, here's what I think the Bible says, and they don't do it or they ignore it. And then they come back and they I don't know why my life's in such a shambles. I'm going to be like, well, you didn't do what the Bible said. And it's not just with sex and marriage. What about raising kids? I mean, nowadays, don't discipline them. I mean, you know, we got to love on them and give them kindness and build up their self-esteem. How many of you have heard this? I'm going to let my kids choose. I think verse 8 said, parents, tell your children about the Lord. I think Deuteronomy says, parents, when you sit down and when you're eating dinner, talk to your children about the Lord. I think it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. I don't think he says, well, just leave it to chance, because if you're just going to let them choose, I want you to know there's an entire world that is fighting for your kids' minds and hearts, and it's not godly. It's not. And if you just sit back passively and think, well, they're going to make the good choice, they will not. So be a parent. Begin telling them what they need to know. Be less of a friend and more of a parent, because in the end, they'll love you for that. What about money and finances, right? The wisdom of the world says, who needs down payments? Who needs to save? Look, this house over here will give you 110% loan. Is that even possible, right? We'll give you so much money, don't worry about it. And we do what? We buy it because we want it, because it makes us feel good, because it fulfills the desires of the flesh. And oh, it's the right community, right neighborhood, right school, all those types of things. Nothing bad's going to happen by being in debt. Nothing bad's going to happen by using credit cards. And then boom, the economy drops. Boom, housing market goes down. And now suddenly, all these people have houses they can't afford because they don't have jobs, and they owe 100% to the bank. All the while, when the Bible says the one who is in debt is a slave to the lender. Don't borrow. I mean, things like that. Be wise in the way you spend your money. When we reject God's ways, we get ourselves in all these dilemmas. How often does the Lord come around and say, hey, you know what? I know you got 100% loan and you bought this brand new car and you did all these other things. Here's $1 million to pay off all that stuff that you did bad. He doesn't do that, does he? I think that's what this text is saying. When you don't follow his ways and you're purposely going contrary to what he said, you get yourselves in these quagmires that you're like, oh God, I need help. And he says, yep, and it's going to be slow when it's coming. That's why it's very vital to get biblical knowledge. And I know some of you right now are experiencing some of these situations. Some of you because you didn't know and you made bad decisions. Some of you you did know and you just rejected what somebody told you, advice of a parent, a friend, whoever. So what hope do you have? Well, look at verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. If today you'll start saying, you know what, Lord, for too long I've been following after the wisdom of the world. I've been letting other people tell me what to think and I've been buying into that. I haven't really been in your word. I haven't really been hiding your word in my heart. But I'm going to start. I really want to seek biblical wisdom. I think if it's genuine, there's a likelihood he's going to give you his spirit that really is going to begin illuminating, giving wisdom. What does the Bible say? If anyone lacks wisdom, do what? Let him ask. I mean, God's telling us, here's what you should do. And I'll give my spirit to you in such a way that you'll have more wisdom. Verse 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Don't be simple, don't be complacent, right? But instead, verse 33, that whoever listens to me will dwell secure, and will be at ease without the dreaded disaster. See, what we have to get in our mind, and we're almost done, what we have to get in our mind is this. Do I believe God and His Word, or am I going to buy into the wisdom of the world? Because if I obey the Lord and I obey His Word, I can rest secure. Is there anybody here today that can give testimony that they followed the Word of the living God, and they would say they're worse off for it? Versus, is there anybody here who can say, I followed after the wisdom of the world and I'm worse off for it? You see? So what can you do? Let me give you four things very quickly. One, start reading and studying the Word. Wow, Travis, you tell us that all the time. Well, what else am I going to tell you? Because that's where wisdom comes from, the Word. If you don't know the Bible and you're not trying to put any time into studying the Bible, you're not going to know what God says. You're not going to have wisdom. That's not just a simple answer. It is the foundational answer upon which everything else has to be built. If you're not hiding the Word of God in your heart, you're not going to have wisdom. So here's a challenge for us. You know the great thing about the book of Proverbs is there's 31 chapters. That Proverbs 31 woman, right? You know, so 31 chapters. That makes it great. You can read a proverb a day, a whole chapter. So here's our challenge as a church this week. Today, it's the 13th. So read Proverbs 13. Tomorrow, read Proverbs 14. And maybe there'll be something in that chapter that you're going through in your life that sticks out, and the Lord is giving you wisdom on how to deal in that situation. The next day, Proverbs 15. So you read a chapter a day, and for the next 31 days as we go through Proverbs, we'll read through the whole book of Proverbs. And I guarantee you what you're going to find is you're going to like it. Proverbs is a fun book. Kind of challenging, little riddles, little parables, these types of things, but you will find it as a joy. A second thing to do is pray. Lord, I need wisdom. I need you to make this word alive to me. I need to know how to live in this circumstance. I need to know how to speak to my children or my grandchildren. I need to know how to talk to people at work. Got these situations. I need to know how to live in the face of this wisdom that's being communicated to me. A third way is by this, becoming more committed to church and the Bible studies. The average church member attends church once, maybe twice a month. Not y'all. I mean, y'all are the cream of the crop. But when you look statistically, not just at this church, but you kind of go across churches, that's about the average. Well, when you're not in church and you're not being around others who are trying to grow in their faith and you're not being involved in Sunday school classes, and I mean, look, we've got a women's class that meets on Tuesday and Wednesday. On Wednesday night, we're starting an apologetic Bible study in here, right? You got all types of opportunities to learn and to grow. There's no reason why you can't be growing in your wisdom of God's Word. We don't do those things just to put stuff on the calendar. We do those things with the hope that you'll learn how to live. And one last way, develop godly friends and quit hanging out with bad influences. That sounds obvious, but it's not always. Students, just think about that. Maybe you got some people in your life that are tempting you, like this boy here in Proverbs chapter 1, to do bad things. If that's the case, you need to drop them. They're not real friends. They're going to lead you down a road of destruction. But the same goes for you adults. Some of you have friends in your life that are not loving of the Lord, not honoring the Lord. Maybe, why are they still in your life? Well, if they're family members, then that's another case. But if they're just friends, high school friends, Facebook friends, do you really need them in your life? Instead, develop good friends with godly people. Because here's why. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You see, when believers come together, there's a refining that happens, a sharpening that happens, a growing deeper that happens. Conversely, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So on one side, iron sharpens iron, bad company ruins good morals. What do you want to be? Growing in the Lord or going down the road of destruction? Right? So maybe there's some friends in your life that really aren't friends. They're just people you've had hanging on. And maybe the Lord's saying, you know what? It's about time to maybe start getting new friends, godly friends. I'm not saying avoid lost people because you need to be engaging them, but you know what I mean. People that you're hanging with and doing things with. My hope and my prayer for every one of us is this, that we won't be caught up in the wisdom of this world, which is really foolishness, but instead that as we go through Proverbs, and even starting today, that we'll say, Lord, I want to grow deeper. I want to have biblical wisdom, not to be a Bible thumper, not to be rude or arrogant, but that I might know how to live in the midst of an ungodly and an unfaithful world, and that you, O Lord, would be honored by my life. Well, let's pray. Lord, this morning, there are all kinds of people in this room, and Lord, I'm just asking that your word would impact them wherever they're at. Maybe some of them, they need to get real with you and turn to Christ. Lord, would you do that even now? Would your spirit move and bring life out of those who are far off? Maybe others of us, Father, we've been complacent or we've just been apathetic in our desiring to learn your word. Oh, Lord, would you show us the value of biblical wisdom? Maybe we've been putting jobs and careers and money ahead of being in your word. Lord, would you show us the dangers of pursuing things that rot and can be stolen and lost? Instead, would we see the value of wisdom? Lord, give us wisdom in who to be friends with and how to use our time. And Lord, would you give us boldness that we would be willing to stand for what we know your word says, regardless of what anyone else says. And Lord, that as we do that, that you would cause us to dwell securely. And Lord, we pray these things for your name's sake. Amen.